Welcome to the Yokoji Zen Mountain Center podcast. Every month we share at least one new talk on the practice of Zen Buddhism at cmc.org/podcast. You can also find us on iTunes, Spotify, and all other podcast apps. If you find these talks to be valuable, please consider supporting Yokoji by donating at cmc.org/donate. We rely on your support to continue sharing this life-changing practice. Thank you. We hope you enjoy the talk.
Good morning.
Hope you're all doing well and well rested after Christmas exertions in whatever way. Just a reminder, practice occurs no matter where, no matter what. Today, I was going to bring up a case from the Blue Cliff Record, and that's, Obaku's Gobblers of Dregs, or it could be Brewer's Lees, the stuff that's left over from brewing, basically. Seems though it's a seasonal thing. So, here we go. Introduction. The great capacity of Buddhas and Zen masters is entirely under his control. The lifeline of humanity and divinity is totally subject to his direction. With a casual statement, even a single word, he startles the crowd and stirs the masses. With a single device, even a single object, he smashes chains and knocks off fetters. Meeting transcendental potential, he brings up transcendental matters. Now tell me, who has ever been like this? The main case, or the example, Obaku said to a crowd, "You're all gobblers of dregs. If you go on like this, where will you have today? Do you know that there are no Zen teachers in all of China?" We could say in all of America. The monk then came forward and said, "Then what about those who order followers and lead community all over the place?" Obaku said, "I don't say there's no Zen, just that there are no Zen teachers." Verse. Cold, severe, his solitary mien does not take pride in itself. Solemnly dwelling in the sea of the world, he distinguishes dragons and snakes. Even the Emperor of China was treated lightly. Thrice he personally ran afoul of those claws and fangs. Okay, well, it's a nice koan. And there's many of us that put on the mask of being teachers of Zen. There's many of us that run communities. You know, you value it, you don't value it. It doesn't really matter. You know, there's the world is as it is, and the most important thing is what you want to do with that. I mean, many people go, "Well, it's bad. It's not working out very well. So therefore, I won't do anything to change it. I'll just continue with my old habits." One of the main things that's going on here with Obaku, he was a kind of a fearsome character. I think it was last week we talked about him and Master Rinzai. Master Rinzai being, 5'4" or something, and him being about 7 foot with a callus on his forehead, apparently from bowing. So he's in front of his students here, and you could say it was a bad day, just a few koans before. There's like, every day's a good day. He's having a bad day. But is he having a bad day in this case? You're all gobblers of dregs. Where will you meet? So what is it? I remember my Zumiroshi gave a talk on this, and because the unfortunate thing is, we all want the finest wine. We want the finest wine, the stuff that's potent, that's strong. you know, not the stuff that's left from the bottom of a barrel. And that's what they're talking about. Probably it's from making rice wine, but usually at the bottom of the barrel, after all of the sifting and the fermentation, there's usually stuff left in the bottom. So again, what's he referring to in this? You know, I don't think any of us really want the dregs. You know, I don't think we're that desperate, although I've seen some people that have been pretty desperate. So, yeah, you're all gobblers of dregs. How come that is so? I mean, here, Obaku is really throwing a broad net out, you know. And unfortunately, when you're in communities, and unfortunately when you read books, and unfortunately when you hear speeches, you know, you are at the blanketing or the ballparking of whatever that teacher is thinking about at any time. You know, he may throw snakes and dragons in together and address that mix. He's not necessarily making teachings that are specific to the person. Maybe Rinzai was at that talk, and maybe Rinzai fell afoul of it. Rinzai was a gobbler of dregs. Bokushu was his head monk, a great teacher in his own right. Maybe he was thrown in with those gobblers of dregs. So what can we really learn from this? You know, I know that, you know, even with Maizumi Roshi, you would lose patience with people. So there he is. He goes up, starts giving a talk. He starts talking. He looks around. He sees the attitude of people. Some people leaning against the wall, you know. Some people looking at their watch, you know. So he goes, all right, I've finished. Gets up and he leaves. You know, some people say, well, that's really rude. No, I mean, there's a lesson there. I mean, you can say, yeah, he's really rude. Or you could say, what's my part in this? You know, what's my part in this? I mean, Zen really is about transformation. You can talk with people for, you know, years and nothing changes. You know, Obaku is probably in that part. It's just like the same things are happening, you know, in the community. And that's the problem with communities, is that we tend to idolize how they are. When you're actually in the community, then that's a little bit different. Whenever somebody new comes into the community, is that if they don't have the responsibility that the community demands, then they bring in their history, they bring in their habits. Those habits and their history begin to be acted out in the community. If they don't take responsibility for those things that they bring in, then what happens is then the community is brought down, unless you have somebody like Obaku. You're all gobblers of dregs. Because everybody in that, no matter who you are, everybody in that, you know, some of, well, I've taken care of that. You know, as well, get used to it. You're in a community. If the community is suffering, you are responsible for the community. Just very much like President Kennedy, I think it was, you know, don't ask what the country can do for you, ask what you can do for the country. If you want the practice to be a certain way, you're responsible for making it that way, nobody else. You know, we're having a Christmas dinner and somebody starts to criticize somebody else in the meal, and I said, well, you know, you can continue with this if you don't want to denigrate somebody else. You know, what's your responsibility in this? So then things change, you know, possibly. But the thing, again, with all of this is it's not the community, it's not Zen that will do something for you. It doesn't. It goes, you know, there is no Zen in the whole of China. It's a true statement. There's no Zen. Now, if you objectify and then try and define Zen in a very small way, Zen is this, it's sitting, it's going to Dogsan, it's doing service, it's work practice, and you keep it like that, and as soon as you leave, you're out of Zen, then there's a real problem there. There's a change when something occurs like If not me, who? If not now, when? See, now, what does that actually mean? Is it means that it's not that I'm objectively looking at this world, is I'm involved in it. So how can I make a difference? That's where the true practice really starts to come in. It's not like, you know, like when I started, it was going, yeah, I'll be done with this in 2 years. I'll just go back to my old habits, basically. Things will be clear and everything. 40 years later, I've not been able to do that. You know, for some reason, I've not been able to do that. You know, it's just like people, yeah, I'll do this Zen and then I'll get some peace and then I can just go back and then do all my old habits that were there before. And then when those habits start causing suffering in my life, then I go back and do some Zen, get some clarity, and then I go back and I do my old habits. Unfortunately, Zen is a lot more insidious than that. Those things begin to appear across the whole spectrum of living. The problems that I have in relationship, then they usually act out in work relationships. They work out in the way that I treat objects and things in terms of my own living. And then there's that responsibility. Yeah, and maybe I can take care of this. Maybe something will occur in this way. And then what happens is that Zen ceases to be a thing. It's not something specific that occurs in certain places. It's the one who sees through these eyes and hears through these ears. And I'm responsible for the things that occur in my own life. Not somebody else. It's not the president. It's not the governor. It's not my wife. It's not the, not that I have one, but it's not this, this, and this. It's just like, how do I really want this world to work? You know, it's like one of the things that I have that I've seen in politics ever since I was a little kid is it doesn't matter what the parties are, you know, is that you have one is that, yeah, it's the rule of the jungle. The other part is that, yeah, I can make a benefit in terms of living life. One of them leaves as it is. The other one has the possibility of change. You know, that's what Zen is really about. It's about that transformation. But part of that is to really look at one's own responsibility in terms of creating ways and means that we can actually awaken to our own lives. You know, and again, this is directly what Obaku's addressing. So in that community, you have some people that really want to do that, and there'll be people that don't. Everybody's been thrown under that same bus, you know. This is the way you are. Why does he do that? He's basically doing it is that no matter where you stand, no matter what your realization, no matter how well you're doing, there's always going forward with that. You know, there's always more to do. There's no stopping place on that point. You know, I mean, I hear it, you know, from 1,200 years ago. I hear those words. You're all gobblers of dregs. I could do things better. I wish you had those of you who are studying with me, I wish you had a better teacher in that way. Again, that thing that the Buddha says right at the beginning when he starts to teach, all beings have the wisdom and virtue of the awakened one to thusness. And really, you could say that the entire process of Buddhism is the actualization of that. You know, usually we tend to get into the lawyer thing. Well, this is an exception. You know, this is a loophole. All beings have the wisdom and virtue of the awakened one to thusness, but that will happen to me later. You know, that's going to happen later. You know, it's not really happening now. Again, like I would say with my Izumi Roshi, you go, appreciate your life. No, it's all right for you. You're enlightened. But if you draw those lines, you draw those places where it occurs here and it doesn't occur there, that's exactly the problem in itself. What can I do now? How can I live in that way? I mean, this is true religion, and I'm not drawing lines between religions now. Is it doesn't matter where you are in terms of religion. The religion is to move, you know, to actually deal with those ways that we suffer as human beings, and then make those changes that are necessary. I don't say that there is no Zen, and many of us are very proud to be in the Zen school. You know. We're proud to do it. You know, we're proud to wear the badge. We're proud to wear the robes. We're proud to do the forms, which are that. But make sure that part of that pride is you are in the process of that transformation and are facing up to those things that need to be faced up to as human beings. So there is no Zen in the whole of America. There is no Zen. So what do you do? I mean, that's a very sobering thing, you know. So there's no Zen in the whole of America. Is that something that's negative? Say there was, you know, there's no Zen. John Lennon's Imagine, there was no heaven. Imagine, you know, he goes to a whole series, though. There's no religion. There's no things that separate us, that define us, put us apart. Then what are you left with? This is exactly what Obaku's doing. What are you going to do then? Now, this is where the finest wine begins to appear. Now, usually the finest wine has some ingredient in it that really brings that out. That's the one who sees through these eyes. That's the one that always is awake and aware. If you bring Buddhism back to one thing, it just means simply the I am awake. There is the one who is awake, the one who sees through these eyes, the one who hears through these ears 24/7. You get back to that and you're into, not only is it the finest wine, this is a brandy. This is the finest, it's refined through that practice. It's refined through, you can't escape it. You know, in the whole of America, there is no Zen teachers. It's kind of interesting, Tenke in his, he's in our lineage, he does commentaries on this. This is what he says about this. He goes, it's just that there are no Zen teachers. Knowledgeable words come from the mouths of those in the know. Okay. Does that mean they're a teacher? I mean, a lot of times we project onto people something else. A teacher also includes a whole bunch of other stuff there too. It's like when I first started studying with Maizumi Roshi, is that I was very cynical about teachers. You know, I thought teachers were more like the teachers that when I was at school. And pretty soon, I mean, it took about 2 years for him to disabuse me of that, and also for my conditioning to get worn away in my own self when I really saw that he was a person who wanted me to wake up. That was as simple as that, that we were in this together. Then that changed. It wasn't like there was a status there. It's, no, we were practicing together. He has a role. I'll support that role to the hilt. I like that vision. I'm going to follow that vision because that vision felt true to me. And that's the important thing. It's not like, well, I'm taking on these things that are written down and I'm going to follow it. It's more like the old Druid tradition in that way, is that you see somebody lives in a certain way, you embody it, you live it, and then it is taken care of in that respect. Now the negative part of what we're seeing now of Buddhism being adopted in the West is the fact that it is being regarded through the forms. But it's the same with most religions, is that it goes, well, yeah, a religious person is like this, it gets defined. The religious practice is like this, it gets defined and then put into a little box. You know, you should be a certain way. They should be a certain way. And it's the most lazy way of regarding a religion. A religion only survives if it's practiced. And again, if it's practiced, then it's living. That's the only part. It's like, people will come and, you know, when they come here, they might see me as a lazy bum, just laying around, just doing stuff and maybe sitting a little bit, what have you. But then, you know, there's no looking into it. There's no inquiry. There's no inquiring why things are a certain way, why they're done in a certain way. And this is also koan study. It's not just, you know, I'll look into this, but koan study goes across the board into every activity in this world. It's that thing, do I feel at home in this? Is this really in balance in terms of my own life? And nowadays, you know, people go, well, yeah, I saw Tenshin Roshi at so-and-so, and that was good. And I saw Genpo Roshi over in Colorado, really great words. And I got empowered by the Dalai Lama, and I got empowered by the Karmapa. And I saw Enkyo Roshi on Zoom the other week. And there's a list of teachers, and then we identify as something. And it's important to throw all of that away. Then the finest wine can really come through. It's really beautiful. Yesterday, I went online for Kojin's Shuso, not Hosen, but Shuso entry for the Village Zendo winter training period. And just to see all of those people that were going to take on commitments for that 3 months, as well as Kojin's commitments. And obviously Kojin was here, and I have a lot of trust in him, and I really appreciate Enkyo, his teacher. You know, again, there are no people, there is no Zen in America, but there are those that lead communities. And I have tremendous appreciation for those that lead those communities, because they're really letting themselves in for a shit show. This is, you know, Maizumi Roshi would agree with me. But there is the beauty of that becoming transformed in whatever way. Whenever you get people around making commitments, people are going to break them. They're going to do all kinds of things with them. But then there's a beauty of those that hold that. Like Kojin's going to hold that Zoom thing. He's going to be there. He's going to he's going to help people in whatever way. But the main thing is be present to whatever is occurring. You know, there are no Zen teachers, because ultimately it comes back to each one of us and how we transform. You know, how we transform. If you go, you know, to like now you got Obaku, maybe go a generation further on from Obaku in the Soto lineage, you run into Master Tozan, who said one of the most, this is almost like a Rinzai statement. Somebody asks him, what's the most painful spot? And don't think that Zen is concerned with masochism here. You know, he goes, what's the most painful spot? And Tozan just said, under these robes, under these clothes, not knowing who you are. It's true. This is what Obaku is directly pointing to. If you don't know that, all of your services, all of the sitting on your rear end, dreaming about things, is pointless. It's pointless in a bad way, and it's pointless in a good way. If that basic work on the inside isn't taken care of, and it doesn't matter how bad other people are and what they're doing, is that practice continues 24/7, no matter what. And this is where you have to get your own manifesto on how you want to live together in this way, you know? Because we can transform situations from something that is very difficult into something that really, really is supportive of not only the people around us, but of our society. You know, just in the same way as, you know, Kojin's now doing this over in New York. You know, Dan was here. Dan's over in Florida. You know, you got Tom, he was at the center, he's up in Northern California, Anne's in Florida. You know, you got all of these people all over the world that are affected and are affecting the people around them. You know, Jindo in New York. You know, Prajna Heart Center in LA. All these places. Not that there are no Zen. It's just there are no Zen teachers. And you look around it, don't put the emphasis on that teacher part. I mean, I've known people that are teachers within a year or two. It doesn't mean anything. It's what is how that practice is being practiced. And in other words, not a thing called Zen, but the work, the inner work that's going on 24/7. That transformation. Where rather than going, well, I don't like this aspect of me, let's put it in the shadow for a while, and then it comes out like a, you know, leaping tiger. You know, it's just like, whoa, I can feel that. You know, how do I handle this? How is this really dealt with in that way? Oh, you shouldn't be angry. You're a Zen person. No, you know, if you're angry, see how you can work with it in such a way it doesn't discharge. It doesn't cause damage on the outside. See how it can cut through the bullshit, the red tape, whatever is there in front of you, and also inside, especially if I'm telling bullshit to myself on that level. So, you know, I've kind of smeared over the whole koan in that way. I just wanted to, to talk about the verse, etc. And it goes, cold, severe, his solitary mien does not take pride in itself. Again, you're all gobblers of dregs. He too is a gobbler of dregs. He has been a gobbler of dregs. We all sort of fall foul of other people's words and things. You know, and at the same time, his statement is like Hakuin says, he goes, this statement of Obaku's is poison in the water. You know, is that if somebody says that to me, I will reflect on myself. And that poison, you know, it's just the thing with Zen is that poison is not necessarily a bad thing. It's a thing that kills you, kills all that extra stuff. And all you're left with is that basic, that basis that's there, whether you're alive or dead. If there's somebody conscious or unconscious. That's what it comes down to. Once you know that basis, then whatever your construction is based on something you can rely on. You know, it's not like building your house around your paintings of yourself or your image, your poetry of yourself and the world around you is building on solid space. I was going to say rock, but you can't even rely on rock. And we just had an earthquake coming here from a few miles away. Boom! You know, at least the building survived. So, Obaku, you know, he's been very kind. And he's also been very honest to himself at this point. You know, sometimes teachers won't say what's really on their minds. You know, simply because they think it's going to affect people in negative ways. But he really doesn't care at this point. You know, this is where he probably feels that the community is going a little bit askew at this point. So it's like, this really needs to be said. And if it isn't said, then it's just going to get worse. I remember there was a center in southern Scotland. And for many years it really went down the tube simply because people weren't really taking responsibility for the place and not supporting the teacher. It even got to the point where there's some criminal elements that moved in there and they were using it. So this is the aspect of if we value something called Zen. And we value practice places and we value the core, our own work that occurs on a momentary basis, is that it's important to let that live. It's important to support that, to feed it. And those things that become ways that we identify with things and get pulled away, it's important to be able to put those on one side. And really be ourselves truly. Okay, well, I've spoke for about half an hour, so if you have any questions or comments, please bring that up.
Okay, you can now unmute yourselves if you want to jump in and ask a question. And I believe I've opened up chat as well. You can also use the raise hand feature if you prefer.
Too much Christmas pudding. Come on. Come on.
Hi, Roshi.
Hi. Hey, Dan.
Dan.
Hi. Yeah.
Good to see you.
You too. It's like it's cold in Florida.
Yeah, it's been very cold. Yeah, I haven't gone outside. It's like in the, you know, in the 50s or something.
Yeah, damn. Yeah. The Arctic.
Yeah. And actually, I'm wearing the polar tech you gave me.
Oh, good. Yeah, good.
Cool.
Yeah.
I really like this koan, and I could say something about it, but it was something that you said about that really touched me about how Maizumi Roshi, something about he wanted you to awaken, or he felt that he had that. You had that faith that he was sincere, or that he really wanted that for you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, that's touching.
Yeah, well, his actions were along those lines,
right?
You know, and he definitely had the feeling that, you know, like the Buddha said when he was in awakened, he said, "This one here is a stuck axle wheel." You know, which it doesn't mean much until you look at it. It's just like, how can he be that way when he's awakened? Well, he sees that everybody else is stuck, and that work doesn't finish until they are in that place. And that was the right thing for me that marked Maizumi Roshi. A lot of people, you know, were kind of like, well, I'm a teacher now, and that image came forward. And I really didn't have the time for that. But somebody that was actually doing the work, That was impressive to me.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's touching.
Yeah, it is.
And the you know, the eater of brewer's lees, or the dregs.
Yeah.
It makes me think of the elephant gropers that Dogen talked about in the Fukan Sasengi.
Yeah.
You know, Zen is this, Zen is that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Well, you only see it from where you see it. I mean, that's the main thing,
right,
about that. You know, yeah. So sometimes it looks like work. Sometimes it looks like pleasure. You know, sometimes it looks like this. Sometimes it looks like filling in the hole. You know, yeah. But if you value one over another in the wrong time and wrong place, the problems occur. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Roshi.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. Anne has unmuted. Let's go with Anne.
Yeah. Hi, another Dan.
Yeah.
Dan two.
Another Dan. Yeah.
Yeah. Another Dan.
You're the second Dan.
Hey, Roshi. I love this koan too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Second or other? Yes.
Yeah.
I love this koan too. The introduction has just such great stuff in it, mm-hmm, too. The with a casual statement, even a single word, he startles the crowd and stirs the masses. You know, I mean, if you hadn't read further into the koan, you would almost think you're talking about the teacher there. But then there's that question at the end: who has ever been like this? It's such beautiful. Throwing down of the gauntlet, yeah?
Yeah. Well, also, I mean, if you feel if it's like this, then there's no problem.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean there's no work to do for helping others, you know. I mean, that should be natural by that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. I just love the way it kind of flips it right into, you know, do you want to be a gobbler of dregs, or you want to be like this? Right?
Yeah. I mean, it seems very black and white, but again, he's, he's very inaccurate in the way it's portrayed, because there's people who are really, you know, active in his community, and there's people that are just there for the words because it brings some peace. But there's nothing wrong with it on that level. But for him, as a so-called Zen teacher, you know, he's knocking away the crutches of these people, so that they have to stand alone, and that's one of the hardest parts for a teacher. Mm. You know.
Yep.
Swim.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now. Yeah. Exactly. Great. Thank you. Good seeing you, Laurie. Too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Ron, you're unmuted.
I'm unmuted.
Yeah.
Yes. Hello, Tenshin Roshi.
Hey, you're a preview of tonight. It's snow all over the place in Yokoji.
Psychic powers.
Yeah, you've gone back in time from the future. Yeah, okay. I got it.
Right. Anyway, no, I just wanted to say thank you for the ox herding series. I've been enjoying it and getting a lot more detail. I've always been interested in that series. And in fact, I read this book.
Yes,
that sort of got me started. And to see sort of taking it to the next level of detail has been real interesting for me. I'm looking forward to the remainder of the presentation.
And at some point, you know, we'll get the I did a whole series of more scholarly talks on this around 2000, I think it was, year 2000, that is. And then there's also we've got some of Maizumi Roshi's that we'll probably release at some point. There's a series about, I think, maybe 4 or 6 discs, which we'll have to put onto, you know, onto digitally. We'll put them, then we can do something with them. Something technical, you know, in that way. Yeah. Yeah. With passwords.
I'm sure Steph is an adept by this point.
Yeah.
No.
We'll find a way. We'll find a way.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ron. Rich.
Hey, Rich. Wherever you are.
He'll unmute. There he is.
Hey, can you see?
Can see you, yeah.
Okay, how's it going, Roshi? Yeah.
Good.
I think, like everyone else, I love this koan, especially the where can we meet, or how can we meet, or who can we meet with today? How can meeting happen?
Yeah, and that's weird, because it's like where. He says where in it, which it seems like a typo or something, or a mistranslation. He says, let's see. If you go on like this, where will you have today?
Okay, I think that's a new one. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's Secrets of the Blue Cliff Record. But yeah, I mean, because it's worded a little weird, then it requires that we look at it from there. I mean, where is always here. But if in our minds, you know, there's always those excuses: when I become, when this place is better, when you do such and such, all of these excuses come in. This is the most important thing. Right now it's like this. This is the work that needs to be done, whether it's internal or external. You know? Mm-hmm. It's beautiful in that way. And it is a scold, you know, he really is scolding people. And he's scolding people like Rinzai, you know. He's scolding people like Maizumi Roshi. He's scolding the Buddha. He's scolding future generations. He's scolding beginners. But basically everybody's under this blanket at this point. And, you know, it's just like, then we have to look back. If we're being praised, you know, just like, well, that feels good, you know. Get a veneer over the top, yeah, you know. Yeah.
Now, because I always feel, I mean, I've always kind of liked that part, because it's always been, how do I meet? And there are so many times I'm caught up in this, that, or the other about Zen, and I don't meet with what's going on.
Yeah, so, that's how we learn. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember losing in Dharma combat and then realizing that I won. You know, I won because I saw something I didn't see before. So, and that's the beauty of that contact. It's a lot of people won't go into the contact because there's a feeling of loss there. But one of the things is, yeah, you know, dare to be stupid. I think that was a quote of Weird Al Yankovic, the great master. So, dare to be stupid. It doesn't matter. You win, you know. And again, you know, one of the things I admire this student, because it looks like Obaku is not very pleased. And the student goes, well, what about all these people? You know, he just stands right up to him. That's a good student. Doesn't matter what's going on. They say definitely what it is that they're feeling, and they express it. It may mean they're going to get cut down, but Obaku was kind of nice with him. He probably saw that courage.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't say there's no Zen. There's just
thank you,
no.
Roshi.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's good.
I was just going to say, yeah. Let me see if I can take up Weird Al's challenge.
Yeah, try it. All right. Happy New Year, and thanks for all you do up in Tacoma too. See, this is another no Zen teacher in northwest of America.
Thanks, Rich. Deanne?
Hi, I heard the word Tacoma. That's where I was born.
Well, good.
That's where I spent my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to say, also, Roshi, some funny things come up from mishearing something, but the image has been so powerful that maybe I needed to hear it this way. As you kept saying, I think you were saying gobbler of dregs.
Yeah.
And I thought you were saying goblins and dragons.
No, those are Garuda birds, apparently.
Goblins and dragons.
Oh, no, goblins. So, no. Goblins.
I know, that's what I thought. I thought you were saying goblins and dragons.
Yeah. Okay.
So
no. This isn't a.
That's
okay. This isn't a Lord of the Rings thing. Yeah. No.
So I'm making the Cohen into something that I can use because I have lots of goblins and dragons in my house right now.
Mm-hmm.
So,
good.
Just listening to, you know, instead of what is life right now, because I found myself again, you know, when this election is over, when there's the vaccine.
Yeah.
When the man whose name starts with T is not in our consciousness anymore. When I can see my family again. And imagining that life will be different then than it is right now.
Yeah.
So thanks for helping cut through that delusion.
Yeah, and it's important. You know, I'm living now. How can I enjoy it? How can I enjoy this that's happening now? Because for sure, somebody else isn't going to do that for you.
Yeah, that's coming through loud and clear every day.
Yeah.
When this all started last spring, I got out my notepad because, you know, for me, writing and words are always going to make things better.
Yeah.
And I made a list of 26 things I could do.
Yeah.
And maybe I've done one or two.
Yeah, whittle it down to three. You'll probably be able to do three. Yeah,
it's time is passing. You know, it's like you said. You know, if not now, when? If not me, who?
Yeah.
So I guess I'm talking to myself.
Good, I do that too. Yeah, I'm the only one to listen.
Dragons are swirling around. So thank you for that image. That wasn't your image.
Yeah. No. It's all good.
Thank you,
Roshi.
Thank you for being there.
Okay. Thank you for being there. Yeah.
Thanks, Deanne. Anne Bao, I saw that you had unmuted earlier.
Yes.
There she is.
There she is.
There I am. Thank you so much for that. I actually managed to keep up with it very much. And, well, I help my niece and her three teenagers a lot with services. It just struck me that maybe I could help them with some reduction of suffering through some meditation. I just have any experience with teenagers trying to meditate.
Yeah. Well, I mean, from my small amount of experience with teenagers is, in general, they're great people. That's the first thing. But then the second part is just make sure that you really listen and see parts where they are receptive to what you're going to say. Don't keep throwing words out. Just wait until they're receptive.
That's assuming they have something to say to me, but...
Well, I mean, they're gonna get your vibe no matter what. I still got the vibe of my grandma.
Oh yeah.
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 You know,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah, for sure.
They're not gonna stay teenagers for the rest of their lives. You know, this is a snapshot of their life. You know.
There's just some special suffering going on right now. Mm-hmm. Unusual. So anyway, but incidentally, the Florida Scottish summer is about over, and we're going to have an 80-degree New Year's Eve.
Yeah, we have snow tonight.
That's what I heard you say.
Yeah.
Has it been snowing before today? I mean, I know it did earlier, but
I think
this week.
Yeah, briefly for about a day or so, about a month ago. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Alrighty. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Much appreciated.
Thank you.
Thanks, Anne. Okay, I've got a question in chat that I'm going to read out from Russell. I'd be interested to hear from someone with familiarity with Zen outside of the U.S. I guess it's not us. Regarding something Roshi brought up during the talk, specifically how some Zen practitioners can fall into accumulating a list of teachers they have contact with.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Roshi said, I saw X teacher last week and then talked with Y teacher this week. Is that a particularly American facet of Zen?
Oh, No. No, I mean, for globally, that goes on. It's a personality type, you know, basically. Some people feel validated by meeting a lot of people. You know, we're all validated by something in some way. It's important to see those validations, not to have to rely on them, you know. Mm-hmm. If you can put them on one side for a while and experience that.
And he writes, when I came into Zen, I found the tendency of practitioners to constantly name drop intimidating and annoying.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Annoying, I'd say, not necessarily intimidating, you know. Yeah.
These are all comments. There's the link to the ox herding videos in chat as well. I think the rest are all comments.
Oh, good. All right. Anyone else have any questions? I guess it's questions. Galen? Galen's got his hand up.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Roshi. I'm not sure if this is obvious to everyone else and just subtle to me or what, but I get the sense from this statement by Obaku that he's saying something like, you're going to get the practice that you settle for.
That's one aspect, yeah. He's also saying that, you know, basically, if you want to put it into terms of cost and reward, you know, the cost is high, but you're going to get rewarded a lot higher. If you practice and you deal with the stuff you need to deal with.
Which is the whole point of the practice.
Well, no, wherever you stand is the most important of practice. Whatever is here is exactly what needs to be practiced. And you know, I'm trying to say it this way because people go, well, the practice is these following things. So when you sit in, that's what the practice is. When you work in, and really being immersed in that and actually producing something, then whatever it is you're producing is part of that process, and it's also reflective of how you're practicing. And then in terms of your environment, if it's about you moving through life without your environment, there's a whole part of practice that's missing on that level. You know, the world is practicing alongside you 24/7, and teachings of light, sound, taste, touch, all of those things are coming in through on a momentary basis. It's not just my maneuverings through life. I never go anywhere without the world. It's like an American Express card, but bigger. That'll be one of my quotes when I die. You can put that in the book. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Galen. Omar.
Hello. Hi, everybody. Hi, Tenshin.
Hi. Hi, Omar.
So I'm a little bit conflicted between two things. Being like a self-taught musician, a self-taught artist and such, I feel like I'm totally okay with identifying who my teachers are, whether or not they know it.
Yeah.
And, or whether or not they own up to it, or whether,
but
besides the formalities.
Just to cut through it, is that fine with you right now?
You know what? To give you a straight answer,
please.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, then.
Yeah, it is.
Don't create a problem then. If it ever becomes a problem, deal with it.
Yeah, I'm wondering because I just signed up for the Jukai workshop, and I'm hoping that I'll be accepted so that I can participate in it. And there are certain formalities that I hope that I can go through because as a lay practitioner, I do want to be part of the culture, and I do want to be respectful and include, you know, and be included in whatever I think are the rituals or the rites associated with my practice. And I want to be knowledgeable of those things at the same time that I'm also just, I hit the ground running. I'm doing this myself.
Yeah.
Whether you know it or not, you're my teacher, you know, whether, you know what I mean? So if in line with the koan that we just read, whether or not, you know, maybe there is no teacher and actually, you know, you're learning as much from me as I am from you and, you know, and I'm totally fine with all of that.
Yeah, yeah.
I just wonder, am I missing something? Am I good?
Well, probably, but don't, you know, what you're missing, don't worry about it. I mean, as those things come up in your life, then deal with them. But, you know, where it's part of the culture really is, you know, there is a culture, but the main thing is it's a support system. I would rather, you know, look at it that way. I mean, that's with the word sangha. Basically, it's the original word the sangha came from was basically forest, and it's like if you have a solitary tree, you can easily get blown down by the wind. If you've got a forest, they tend to protect the other trees. You know. The same way as when you're up, you can help people. When you're down, people help you. It's just a system that's there. You could say it's a culture in that on that level. But it's, you know, the main thing about Jukai is that taking on those precepts as a lens to look at your life through, and in that process, it helps to free you from a lot of the habits that cause suffering in your life. So that's the main thing is you're doing that. The teacher can't do anything on that level. I'm one that maybe will help you be accountable for whatever it is that you do. I mean, that's what a teacher basically does. I don't do much. I'm just a lazy bum. But you're the one that works, and I'll remind you of those things.
The transformative element of what you were talking about earlier with the koan was precisely what struck me the most, right?
Yeah.
The idea that actually in all of this, whether or not I'm wasting my time for a good reason or a bad reason, the most important thing at the end is that this actually be a transformative process for me.
Yeah.
And that I don't lose sight of it being a process. And I think I can keep that in mind. I think that I haven't lost that view of it I think I had it since I started. I had an inkling of it.
Yeah, don't lose that.
To cultivate.
Yeah, don't lose that. No.
Yeah, I hope not to. And then based on your comment on the sangha, I was listening to a lecture, and it was interesting talking about how in some traditional schools of Zen, you would go to the Sangha and you would ask to be admitted because you wanted to study or learn or just yeah. simply be part of the community. And very often the ritual would be, or I don't know if it's a ritual, but the culture would be, the practice, the general practice would be to say, I'm sorry, we don't have enough rice. I'm sorry, we don't have enough room. I'm sorry, mm-hmm. to sort of turn the person away. And for that person to kind of keep insisting, and in that yeah, sense yeah. of insisting, yeah. Show a, mm-hmm. a kind of a humility to the point to where once you're admitted, you actually spend the first few days, you know, bowing before the entrance of the Sangha or before the entrance yeah. of your site, so that you can eventually mm-hmm. feel that you've done enough. I'm not sure what the word would be, but yeah, that, enough of self-humiliation to be admitted in, right?
Self-humiliating? No, I mean, it's not.
No, not self-humiliation. I would say penance. I don't know if
penance is the right word. The main thing, it's not even penance. It's more like, am I dedicated enough to, you know, am I really going to do this? I mean, that's what was there. That was a process called Tangaryo in Japan, where you would for 5 days or a week, you would stay outside and ask to come in. Quite often you were allowed in at night and then you were put out again. And then when they saw that you had enough determination, then you would be let in. We did something similar at ZCLA, except we just sat in the porch of the Zendo for a day, you know, and were able to get up every now and then and, you know, go to the bathroom and then we'll let in. But, you know, that's an important thing, is that if somebody doesn't have the determination and they want to be part of the community, quite often it's hard on the rest of the community, because the rest of the community is going to be supporting that person all the time. That's why those things were put in at the monasteries and the training centers that were in established cultures. You know, we're not in that place in this country. You know,
because I certainly hope that I've come knocking enough every Sunday to hopefully be admitted into the Jukai workshop.
So yeah, well, that's not it. It's, you know, it's how the main thing is are you committed in yourself to doing that?
Sure.
Because, you know, for when I applied for Jukai, it was like I'd stayed away from all that stuff for about 5 years, simply because I felt it was extra. But then it was just like I saw it as a lens of addressing some of the, you know, some of the ways that I really was causing suffering in my own life. Plus, the basis of the precepts is that precept, which basically means before taking. Mm-hmm. And so before you take any kind of stance, is that the mind is open and clear. As soon as we start taking stances, then problems start getting complicated. So the root of precept is you don't do anything. And then the second thing is then you start dealing with all of the habitual ways that suffering occurs in life.
I think the biggest lesson that one of the most impactful lessons that I've gotten through these Sunday Dharma talks is precisely this idea that, you know, in defining what is Buddhism, that at the core of that definition is simply to free ourselves to whatever extent possible yeah. of suffering. And I think that that's exactly why I came to this. I mean, I came to
yeah.
this
yeah.
out of a place of extreme, extreme suffering. I mean, I don't think I've ever been through a worse moment in my life. And to be honest with you, at this point, which is why I can give you such a simple answer when you first asked me, is it working for you? Then my answer is yes, is because yeah. I've never really felt better. So
yeah, good.
I'm hoping that I can continue on that path of avoidance of, not aversion of suffering, but of at least recognizing what it is
yeah.
and going down the right path, that middle path that will keep me from mm-hmm. swaying too far one side, swaying too far to the other, so I can kind of, you know, mm-hmm. maintain and be, you know, build something sustainable for me on this kind of path of what I call a subtle joy without which the world cannot stand.
Okay, good. Thanks, Omar.
Thank you, Omar. Thank you. Brandon.
Hi, Brandon. Whenever we...
Hi, Bruce.
Hi, good to see you.
Good to see you. It's good to you again. I just wanted to say that as I was listening to you
share the koan and your commentary on it. I was really kind of putting myself in the position of hearing those words.
Yeah.
You know, and it was really uncomfortable, actually.
It is.
To sit in that position and hear those words and to look at, you know, that doubt there, you know.
Yeah.
You know, kind of be put off balance by that, you know.
Yeah.
So I wanted to say thank you, and, you know, it did. The place reflect, you know, like, okay, where am I uncertain, you know? There.
Yeah, and that's the important thing is always go for the doubt, because that's where the growth comes from. It's not just staying with what you know. You know, it's just explore your territory. If there's something there that's not clear, clarify it. You don't stay in known territory. That's where a community dies if you do that.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other thing about it too is, you know, I was sitting there like, oh, this is a really unpleasant feeling, but, you know,
yeah.
Then it passed.
It does. And, yeah.
You know,
that's that word okay. Impermanence. You know, it's just like,
yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks, Brandon. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Brandon. I don't see any other questions, and it is 12:30. So.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Going.
Oh, Ken Erickson.
Ken, got in there.
Gone.
Okay, is that all you're doing? All right.
Going. Cold here too in South Carolina, by the way. 25 degrees last night.
What, Celsius?
No.
Yeah, that is cold. We've got that coming this next week, but that's at night, you know, so, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Good seeing you. Stay warm.
Good seeing you guys.
In the woodshed there or something.
Yeah, this is the new addition that we put on, the little zipping room where Tea came from and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Good. All right. Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah, just give, you know, kind of get my head going there. Yeah. All right, we're going to open it up. Thank you.